Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, I'll begin reading in verse 34. For he had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness to us, your great love to us. Lord, I thank you for your spirit, for your word that's gone forth in this place already, the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, the morning worship service, the prayers and praises that have gone up, songs of praise, the praise and the worship through the offerings, Father. We pray that it has all been a pleasing thing to you. Lord, we are thankful that we can be here in your house tonight. Meet with us and edify your church. Father, be with those who could not be here. Might they know that we miss them and love them and are praying for them. Dear God, might they find a good solace with you tonight, and even pray for this assembly as we pray for them. Father, I thank you for this church. And Lord, continue to help us and use us. Thank you for meeting our every need above and beyond, allowing us to have the part in mission support that we have, and in reaching those that we can reach here in Corvallis also. And so, Father, help us in these things, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Hebrews 10:34. Preached a message from this very passage back in April, entitled "Ye Have Need of Patience," and I only have one sermon. I have 200 titles though, so I've changed the sermon and the title, and now it's "Patience and Promises." Okay, same text, a little different sermon, and hopefully we'll be encouraged and challenged. One thing we need continually, obviously, is that patience, that just going on for God and being able to glorify his name. Of course, the Hebrews to which the author is writing had some unique trials. They, being Hebrews and now become Christians, were considered a sect of Judaism, and they were disassociated. They were kicked out of the synagogues and such, and so they had some extra struggles along with the regular persons that came along with Christianity. And so the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them, don't go back to Judaism. God's done with that. And go on with confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. Don't try to mix the two. He says we're the ones that go on in faith, and we've trusted Christ. We're settled on that, and don't waver on that. And so he's encouraging them, and so they would be challenged in that. And we will, I pray, also find grace for the and instruction for the things that we would need to endure as well. Good things come to them that wait. Patience is a virtue. Sayings like these reflect Bible truth that we all need patience. It's necessary that we as believers, if we're going to reflect Christ in this life, we need to be and be rewarded by him at his return. Then we need patience. According to a traditional Hebrew story, Abraham was sitting outside his tent one evening when he saw an old man, weary from age and journey. Coming toward him, Abraham rushed out, greeted him, and then invited him into his tent. There he washed the old man's feet and gave him food and drink. The old man immediately began eating without saying any prayer or blessing. So Abraham asked him, "Don't you worship God?" The old traveler replied, "I worship fire only and reverence no other God." When he heard this, Abraham became incensed and grabbed the old man by the shoulders and threw him out of his tent into the cold night air. When the old man had departed, God called to his friend Abraham and asked where the stranger was. Abraham replied, "I forced him out because he did not worship you." God answered, "I have suffered him these 80 years, although he dishonored me. Could you not endure him for one night?" Yeah. Patience. And God is so patient with us. Amen. And God can encourage us to patience. And I trust that he will. First of all, we see, number one, that patience is substantiated in Christ. Number one, that patience is substantiated in Christ. Look at verse 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." Christ is the reason that we can have patience. He is the one who is our hope. Patience is a bearing up under, it's an endurance to things and circumstances, perseverance or constancy under suffering and in faith or duty. It's quality of mind, the bearing of evils and suffering with a tranquil mind, just consistency toward God, though things and weights may be heavy, things may be difficult. But we look to Christ, indeed, who is our hope. In Romans 3:23, the scripture says, that doesn't seem like a right reference there. That must be 4:23. Because 3:23 is all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Well, I got the reference wrong, but the scripture says, "Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." That might be 1 Corinthians. I'm not sure how I got that address wrong there. He says, "For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen." Some of you guys got your phone thing. You can look up and figure out where I'm at. Let us know. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Do you know why we can have patience? Because we, through faith, see invisible things. There's a whole world out there, right, by the way, that's really, in a sense, more real than this world. Because this world's going to pass away. That world is eternal. And therefore, we by faith, look unto that world. And that's where we can find that endurance to go through whatever we go through here, because this is we're just it's a pilgrimage here. We're here for a very small time, and we go on. And by the way, Christ is the one, you know, who has brought to light in a great way that world that we can't see. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 1:10. Talks about the things that are now made manifest because the gospel has been shown, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought what? Life and immortality to light through the gospel. The world has seen the one who has come out of the tomb, and they have handled him and felt him. They have written about him and given their lives to give testimony that they had handled him and felt him and talked to him, come out of the grave. And now that has been passed on to us through the word of God. And now we see the same Savior by faith. Amen. By faith in the records that have been preserved. And so we have that great hope to have patience looking to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for that. We have that hope in Him. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul was encouraging the church there. He says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." He remembered their work of faith. Their work came from their faith, the work of faith, like the son of Jacob. The son of Jacob came from Jacob. The work of faith, the work came from faith. He goes on in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he remembered their labor of love. The labor came from the love. The love compelled them even to a greater work, which the Bible called labor there. And then he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, and remembering that, he says, and their patience of hope. The patience came from the hope. And that's what gives us that endurance, that assurance that we have of eternal things. The promises are what give us that patience, and patience and promises that give us, enable to give us that patience to endure the things that would come our way. Knowing in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh God must believe that he is, and what? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And there will be a reward for anything that we endure for the Lord. By the way, not only in the next life, in this life too. In this life and the life to come. There are many spiritual things in this life and material things too, as God deems and sees fit. But the greater riches certainly we enjoy in this life, the spiritual things with Christ, the fellowship with him. And he's always there to meet that need, to provide that hope. And so we endure those persecutions and those things that would come our way. And the Apostle Paul, in that mysterious passage that I read, but if we have hope, the redemption of our bodies. Somebody look that up on your phone. I'm just too curious about that. You know I'm going to push it. The redemption of our body. I want to know where that's at. Romans 3:23. It's not. I'm not remembering the address right now. But he's talking about that there. And talking about the hope that we have. And the idea is... Romans 8:23. Thank you. Okay. Romans 8:23. Talking about the trials, things that we would go through, but also what? Aging. We're all getting older, aren't we? And everybody except for Charlie. Okay. We're getting older, and the body's getting older, and so we have that hope and that patience as what? Because we know we're looking for the redemption of our body. One day we're going to have a new body. It's going to be an eternal body, and we're getting a new one, and the older we get, the more we look forward to that. All right, and so we have that hope, and whether it's, and by the way, it had an extra application to these who were so persecuted. They might die quickly, and they were suffering. Those who were young and healthy were suffering physical pain from tortures and those kind of things. They were looking for the redemption of their body. And so they were given hope through their persecutions, as you and I would be, were we persecuted in the same way and look to the Lord Jesus Christ with the same faith. He would give us that strength as well. Chuck Swindoll wrote, "True patience is waiting without worrying." It's waiting without worrying. And there are times when, you know, God doesn't seem to work fast enough for us, but we need to trust him. And let him do his work. Secondly, patience keeps us steadfast in Christ. Look at verse 36 here. Keeps us steadfast in Christ. He says, "Ye have need of patience, that what? After ye have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise." So patience, through patience we do the will of God. We think about Abraham. It was a long time before he received that promise, wasn't it? And matter of fact, by the time he received that son that he was promised, he didn't think it was going to be, it was possible anymore. And he had to wait a long time. But what? He got to know God. He was called the friend of God. And after long patience and endurance, he received the promise. Now, he was going to receive it anyway, but the patience, what? Helped him in the meantime, amen? It helped him live for God in the meantime. And that's what we need as well. It makes us steadfast in Christ, bearing up, you know, under difficult circumstances. In 1 Corinthians 4:1, Paul writes, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God, keepers of the mysteries of God." We talked about being stewards this morning, caretakers of God's things, all that he's given us. By the way, we're his servants. He owns us. Paul says we're stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Moreover, and then 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful, steadfast. By the way, you won't be steadfast without patience. I won't be steadfast without patience. Because many times, you know, God doesn't work on our timetable, does he? I've often said to believers, he's seldom early, but he's never late. He's seldom early, but he's never late. He'll let that thing go on enough to so that it'll grow you and I to, and bring glory to his name, and then answer that prayer or change that heart, whatever way needs to be changed, right on time for his glory. He works that way so many times. Keeps us steadfast. Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And what's it say? Let us run with what? Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, there's that invisible world, the one who we know is there helping us, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Talked about that some this morning. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Running with patience. Hebrews talks about that. George Matheson comments on that. He says, we commonly associate patience with lying down. We think of it as the angel that guards the couch of the invalid. Yet there's a patience that I believe to be harder. The patience that can run. To lie down in the time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune, implies a great strength. But I know of something that implies a strength greater still. It is the power to work under stress, to have a great weight at your heart and still run, to have a deep anguish in your spirit and still go on with the daily tasks. It is a Christ-like thing. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience, not in the sick bed, but in the street. To wait is hard. To do it with good courage is harder. You see, it's hard to have, it is great patience to have a difficult trial, a difficult wait, and to still go on and minister to another. To still go on and lend that helping hand to another. To have a great burden in your own heart and life, and still go on by the word of God, and by a loving counsel, loving word, encourage someone else. That's courage. That's patience, folks. That's where God would bring us. You know, we think of the patience that our Lord gave his disciples going into the garden when he himself was going to be suffering beyond what we could imagine. And yet what? He was encouraging them. He was encouraging them with that great patience. And God will give us that patience as we grow, as we trust him more and more. Thirdly, patience renders us smart in Christ. Patience renders us smart in Christ. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. He goes on to say in verse 35 there, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And so we have that confidence, that assurance. He says, looking here. We have that assurance, that confidence in Christ, and that shows that wisdom. We become wise as we learn to wait upon the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So God has a chastening program for his children that does not include the condemnation the world will have to face for their sins. Once you're saved, you're removed from that program forever. You never have to face an eternal hell. But he does still have a chastening program for his children And the Bible says, if we'll take the time, what? To judge ourselves. If we'll take the patience to become our own judge, to look at our perspective. Maybe we're getting discouraged or something, and to put our own perspective under the magnifying glass and the scope of the Word of God, and to see, you know, if we're thinking right, and to submit that to the Word of God, we'd be helped greatly through that. To submit our own wisdom to the Word of God. We're planning on doing something. Well, is this, look at the Word of God. Is this what God wants us to do? Is this the way that God, you know, would have us to do something? Examining our plans and our thoughts, taking the time to do that rather than rushing into that, and taking the time to examine the Word of God. Long suffering as opposed to being hasty to anger or punishment, even, you know, toward others, maybe that have wronged us. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Ecclesiastes 7:9. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. There's that patience, just our becoming our own judge and watching for those things. In our plans, patience, submitting our plans to the wisdom of God. Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts or plans of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Those who just rush into it and do it, they wind up in poverty and find themselves in need. But those who are looking to God and looking for His direction are going to find God, providing and guiding those things, being patient in that way. We think about Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord, what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so we have that waiting there, that patient waiting upon the Lord. By the way, that's wise. If that waiting gives you that patience, then that's a wise thing to do, isn't it? Waiting upon the Lord. I had thought at one point that waiting meant serving. It actually means waiting. You look it up in the Word. sometimes you can get the first meaning that comes to mind is not what it is. You got to look up the Word, look up, you know, where it comes from, and make sure you have an understanding. That's part of faithful Bible study, amen, and looking up those things. But just waiting upon the Lord, and when the time calls for that, letting him show, letting him guide. By the way, you know the enemy practices patience. 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul writes, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He talks about the enemies practicing patience. Ephesians 4:14, listen to this. We are to be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, what's it say? Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Lying and waiting for that, for the opportune time, that patience that the devil has, and his demons and such, waiting for the opportunity to come into your life and my life. So we ought to have patience, serving God, waiting upon Him, letting Him lead us, guide us. And then fourthly, patience proves us sincere in Christ. Verse 34, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, encourages them to consider what God's already done. Consider what you've been through. By the way, when you're in need of patience, when you are having to endure difficult things, remember God's works in the past. Remember how God has provided and guided. And so the scripture says, remember, he says, look what he says in verse 32, call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, after you were saved, you endured a great fight of affliction. And indeed they did. Partly whilst you remained a gazing stock. He talked about himself and the apostles being gazing stocks. They were as well. by reproaches, by afflictions, partly while she became companions of them that were so used. And he says, here's what they're remembering. For he had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves ye have in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. So he says, remember back there, you were looking unto Jesus, and though you were persecuted, you joyfully took the spoiling of your goods. You were robbed perhaps and maybe kicked out of your house, and yet what? You served others. How'd you do that? Through patience, through the strength that God gave you. He says, remember that. Be encouraged by that. And patience proves us sincere in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6:4, the scripture says, but we are to be, Paul says, about themselves, and of course we're to follow that example, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In much patience is the first thing on the list. In much endurance, whatever we have to endure, then we are to be patient and to follow God, to look to Him, to be godly through that trial. Did you know that the gold doesn't show until you put the fire to it? The world's not going to see the gold in you and I. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, don't we? The gift that is, what does the scripture say? Beyond comprehension. We can't speak it. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. There's the path. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit does. Christ lives in us. But you know when the world's going to see it the most? When we're under pressure. When we're under fire. And trusting in Him. Finding the grace and the victory to show His character and counsel, to let Him live through us in that trial, and to trust Him that this thing is going to work together for good. God's going to use it somehow. And by the way, someone might be watching you don't even know about. Somebody might be watching me you don't even know about, and they might remember how you responded to the words that you said in the midst of that difficult time, and you might not even know about it. And yet God would use that, you know, to change their life. And you just never know. And patience proves us sincere in Christ. The purposes of God often develop slowly because His grand designs are never hurried. Great New England preacher Phillips Brooks was noted for his poise and quiet manner. Times wherever he even suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" he asked. "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Haven't we felt the same way? We want it quickly. God just doesn't seem to be in the hurry that we're in. Some of the greatest missionaries of history devotedly spread the seed of God's word, yet had to wait long periods before seeing any fruit for their efforts. William Carey, for example, labored 7 years before the first Hindu convert was brought to Christ in Burma. Adoniram Judson toiled 7 years before his faithful preaching was rewarded in Western Africa. It was 14 years before one convert was received into the Christian church. In New Zealand, it took 9 years. In Tahiti, it was 16 years before the first harvest of souls began. On and on, we see that need of patience. Then finally, patience brings us soundness in Christ. It brings us soundness in Christ. Verse 36 there. Is that 36 or 35? 36. "You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." You know, when we see God's promises fulfilled in our lives, you know what that does? That makes us strong. Now, of course, the apostle, what is the greatest promise? It's the promise of His return. By the way, that's imminent. that always could be the very next promise that God fulfills for you and I, is His return. And we ought to always be looking for what? The fulfillment of that promise. But all the promises, the Bible says, are fulfilled in Christ. He is, in a sense, the fulfillment of all the promises of God. His presence being with us, that soundness, that strength in Christ. Look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Wow. That's a mouthful right there. Wow. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Our problems don't come for no reason, believers. They come for a reason. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have her what? Perfect work, that ye may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He's talking about being a strong Christian, being strong in the Lord. This is not just having the strength to obtain the strength from Christ to get through this one difficult time. No, this is talking about accumulation of that strength, where you've seen promises after promises fulfilled, and now what? You're becoming a stronger Christian. And you're becoming one who becomes a reflex to call upon God immediately in trouble, and to find that comfort, and to remember those times that He's provided, and to just ask for that grace to have patience through that trial, and that's becoming that strong Christian calling upon God immediately, get that soundness in the Christian life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, he writes to them, he says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, what? And patience inherit the promises. We inherit promise after promise so many times. And, as we wait upon the Lord, as we trust in Him, and as we continue to look for His coming. I was thinking about the Lord's coming, and where did I write that note in? I can't find it. I had another page here. In Hebrews 10, 37, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I thought about that in closing tonight. How often do we say as we're planning in life, well, if the Lord tarries, if the Lord tarries, we'll do this week. If the Lord tarries, we're going to do this or that. You know what? One day He's not going to tarry. One day we won't be able to finish that sentence. There won't be any more tarrying. Okay, and we say it so often. We're losing the edge of that imminent return. He's not always going to tarry another day. He's not always going to tarry another hour. And Paul, by the way, the writer of Hebrews was thinking that back then. One day, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Will not tarry. He'll be here, just like that. And then you know what? Then our work on earth will be done, and we'll be with Him, and we'll serve Him, and love Him, and live for Him like we never have before, in such a wonderful way. But until then, brethren, we need patience. Amen. And trust Him more. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your people tonight. And we all have things for which we need patience. Some there may be difficult financial trials. Some it's physical, and some there's some kind of a spiritual trial, and we all have those. Might be lost loved ones and trials that are just always there. They're a weight, or they're heavy upon us. And they're not a kind of weight that we're to cast off. They're a burden that we're supposed to carry in prayer and hold ever before you. And yet we are to, with patience, to continue to run, even with that burden, to continue to labor and minister, even with that burden, as you enable us, whatever it might be, to do what we can, and to find the grace from you that we need to let your light shine through us in the midst of that heat, in the midst of that trial, that others may see that. And we know that in due time you give consolation. It might be you speak to us somehow in your word. It might be you just comfort us in a way that we can't explain. It might be another brother or sister says an encouraging word that lifts us up. And God, whatever it might be, And Lord, maybe by your grace, we can be the one in the midst of our trial also to say that comfortable word to another, to do that helpful deed to another, even though our own burden is heavy. And Lord, in so doing, we become more like thee. Father, help us by your grace and by your power. We thank you for our precious Lord Jesus and for all that you are to us. And God, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.